How are you feeling about the hike, Mom?
Right now I'm hot. It's very hot and humid. But the hike is good. It's beautiful.
I'm Matt Podolsky. You just heard the voice of my mom, Candy Podolsky, recorded during our attempt to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail in 2022.
I feel like there's a lot of older retired guys.
Yeah.
There's a I feel like there's so many
so many of them.
So many
white
bearded
dudes. In my head, I call them the white beard guys.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But do we know any women that age that are through hiking other than you?
There aren't any in our
group that we've seen
recently.
We haven't seen any recently. But there's a lot of younger women out here. You know what I mean? The age ratio for the kids in their 20s seems pretty even. Probably skewed male, maybe.
Probably,
60,
but not
40,
by a lot. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I would agree with that.
It's got to be partly a generational thing, right?
It has to be. Has to be. I get a lot of women stop me who are day hiking, on Saturdays and Sundays, and they thank me for doing it. This is so great that you're doing this. I wish I could do this. They want to. It's not that they don't want to, at least from the women, because a lot of them stop me and ask me all about it and make it very clear that they're too afraid to do it.
For most of my life, I've struggled to understand the fear that some people have of wild outdoor spaces. For me, the outdoors have always felt like a safe and welcoming place. But hiking with my mom has helped me understand where this fear comes from.
And the guy turned around and said, "This is a difficult trail and you should really not be on this trail."
On this episode of Common Land, we're going to be exploring what it means to be an older woman on the Appalachian Trail. And we're going to be talking about some of the first people to hike all 2,000 plus miles of the trail from end to end.
She laid down for a nap in the woods once, and when she woke, there were three buzzards that had come down, and they were sitting right beside her, just looking at her, shoulder to shoulder. And she turned to them and she said, "I'm not dead yet." And they all flew off.
This is Common Land. At a certain point on our hike, my mom and I couldn't help but notice the gender differences on the trail. We'd talk about it a lot.
I mean, surely there's other women my age that are doing this.
Right, of course. That's what I'm saying.
But
I just bet it's...
But there's so many men doing it that are my age. A lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have white beards. I don't know. It's...
Yeah.
It's baffling to me as well.
Yeah.
Although not completely surprising.
You've got Grandma Gatewood who does it the year you were born and was probably roughly your age now when she did
she
it,
right? She was 66, so one year older than me.
Yeah.
Grandma Gatewood is a legend of the Appalachian Trail. She was one of the first people to complete a thru hike of the AT way back in 1955.
Yeah. Yeah, and she just did it, but she didn't tell anyone.
Right.
She just up and left.
Right.
And her kids had no idea she was doing it.
Right.
Can you imagine you and Sandra would kill me? Well, you'd be with me. But she just went and did it.
So my grandmother, my mother's mother, was Emma Gatewood's cousin.
That's Ben Montgomery, author of Grandma Gatewood's Walk, the inspiring story of the woman who saved the Appalachian Trail.
So, is that right? My mother's mother, no, I'm sorry. My mother's mother was cousins with Emma Gatewood's children. So my great-grandmother was Emma Gatewood's sister.
Ben grew up being told bedtime stories about Grandma Gatewood. And a few decades into a successful career as a journalist, he was inspired to explore Gatewood's life. The result was a New York Times best-selling book that brought new light and attention to Gatewood's societal influence.
there was never any big news about the AT, the fact that it existed, until she starts this hike. And then at the end, the Associated Press and UPI, United Press International, were doing almost daily dispatches with her progress as she approached Mount Katahdin in Maine. So it was national news. It was like every newspaper in the country was running dispatches daily at the end. And this pointed just the most major spotlight to that date, to 1955, of anything on the AT, on the fact that it existed.
By 1955, the Appalachian Trail was in danger of being lost to obscurity. It had been reestablished as a contiguous trail in 1951 after years of neglect, but few people outside of the hiking clubs were aware of its existence. Grandma Gatewood would change that forever, but not without first having a brush with failure.
She started a hike in 1954 that no one knew about. She never told a soul about, and she failed.
Gatewood began her first thru-hike attempt in the north, starting at Katahdin in Maine's 100-mile wilderness.
She made it within, a couple of days of Mount Katahdin, and then lost the trail and got lost in the Maine woods, and came to a spot where she thought she was going to die. And she wrote later that she laid down on a rock and said, if I'm going to die, this is as good a place as any. And got up one more time to find the trail, found it, and made her way back to the campground. Was very embarrassed by that experience. The rangers who had been looking for her said, this is no place for a woman like you. They told her to go home, Grandma. Anyways, after this terrible experience in 1954, she, could have folded, but she decided she was going to try it again. This time, start from the south.
So in the spring of 1955, Emma Gatewood made her way to Georgia and started her long walk. She had no intention initially to share her story with anyone.
So she kept to herself, and really from Georgia to Virginia, she kept this pretty close to the vest. Word got out, as it does on the AT. It went straight up the trail and beat her to Roanoke. And there was a reporter and a photographer who worked for the local paper in Roanoke, Virginia, and they were also members of the local trail club. And so they had heard that this little old lady had started at Mount Oglethorpe in Georgia and was coming along the AT, and they were on the lookout for her. And essentially what they did was they intercepted her. At first, she refused. She told them she didn't want to share her story.
But they didn't give up. They hiked with her for a while, offered some food, and carried her pack to the next shelter. When they got there, they kept prying her for her story.
And eventually, maybe because of fatigue or because they had been so kind to her with the shelter and the food, she relented and she told them for the first time who she was, where she was from, and what she was going to do. And this is when she realized she better let her family know what she's up to.
Gatewood was over a month into her Appalachian Trail hike before she sent a postcard home to her family to let them know where she had gone. She certainly wasn't anticipating the amount of attention that her hike would generate in the media.
The story spread. She starts running into reporters routinely on the trail. So from the news breaking in Roanoke, it took off. It was on the radio, television, newspapers from then on.
It's Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life.
What have we next, George?
Groucho, I have Emma Gatewood standing by to talk to you.
Well, Emma, now that your children are grown, what do you do for excitement?
Oh, I hike.
You hike?
That's a clip from Gatewood's appearance on You Bet Your Life from 1959.
And how long was this trip that you...
2,000 miles.
You walked 2,000 miles? What were you walking for?
I like to walk, and I just...
But isn't it dull?
I like to spend the summer that way.
Gatewood was asked over and over again why she would go on these long-distance hikes, and her answer was always a bit vague.
How did you arrive at that kind of a pastime?
Oh, I didn't have anything else to do. The family's all married and gone, and I just wanted to do something.
Although nobody knew it at the time, Gatewood had another motivation for hiking the entire Appalachian Trail. Here's how Gatewood's biographer, Ben Montgomery, described Perry Clayton Gatewood, the man that Emma was married to from 1907 to 1941.
An abusive, oppressive man who was a terrible husband, who beat his wife, within an inch of her life a handful of times, witnessed by the children.
Montgomery had the opportunity to conduct extensive interviews with four of Emma Gatewood's children while working on his book, all of whom shared stories about the physical abuse that she suffered. He also had access to Gatewood's own words.
She maybe left a 5-page biographical sketch for her grandchildren. About one whole page was about the abuse that she suffered at the hands of her husband. So she felt like it was a significant part of her life. 20% of her biography that she wrote was dedicated to this terrible experience being married to this man. I try to put myself in her shoes a lot, to like get inside of her head a lot. I think, I've ran this by her kids. They all have different feelings about it, but I think she probably liked that her ex-husband was like a dude who read the local paper and would have seen these great stories about how Emma Gatewood from Gallia County, Ohio, had become the first woman to solo through hike the Appalachian Trail. Hell, they had a parade for her in Galpolis when she finished. It was a big deal.
Grandma Gatewood captured America's attention and made history as the first woman to complete a solo through hike of the Appalachian Trail. Although Gatewood certainly broke down barriers with her historic hike, hiking the AT can still pose challenges for women today.
I'm hiking through northern Pennsylvania, and it is rocky. And some sections of the trail are just boulder fields.
One evening, during a challenging stretch of trail in Pennsylvania, I arrived at camp ahead of my mom. I was setting up my tent when she got there, visibly shaken.
This guy was like standing in the middle of the trail, mm-hmm. blocking any way to get by. And he started talking to me. He wanted to know where I was going and where I was going to stay. And he, in like a very firm voice, said, "It's 3 miles of rocks." And, with a tone, it's mm-hmm. 3 miles of rocks, and you should take the first sight you get. And it was weird. So I just said, "Okay, I will," because I didn't want to cause any problems. And there were three guys, and I said, sure. And he's still blocking the trail. So finally, I was like, okay, I gotta go. And I just started barreling by. And he did move slightly. But that was about it.
Yeah.
And the other two guys nodded and smiled. I mean, they seemed fine. But this guy had an attitude. And I think he clearly thought it was inappropriate for me to be hiking at, 6 o'clock. He knew better than I did what I can do. Mm-hmm. That was kind of his attitude.
Mm-hmm. What did you want to say to him?
Oh, well, what I wanted to say to him is you have no idea what my skills are. And I am a grown up and I can do whatever the fuck I want. That's what I wanted to say.
That would have been good.
I know. But it didn't seem like the wise choice at the time. The blocking of the trail was the weirdest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wasn't going to let me go through. But it's people like that that make women my age not want to hike alone. It makes them fearful.
Mm-hmm.
Experiences like this are all too common. But it's also true that there is a growing network of support for long-distance hikers from all different backgrounds. After the break, we'll hear from one of the oldest hikers on the trail in 2022. Hey there, adventurers. Are you ready to hit the trail this season? If so, check out Big Agnes, the mother of comfort. Whether you're backpacking, car camping, or sleeping under the stars in your backyard, Big Agnes gear is built for comfort without compromise. Their award-winning sleeping bags, pads, and tents are lightweight, durable, and feel like home, no matter where you roam. Say goodbye to cold, stiff nights, and hello to plush, cozy sleep in the wild or your backyard. Find Big Agnes at an outdoor retailer near you or at bigagnes.com and feel the difference. Big Agnes, comfort built for the backcountry. Just because you start a thru-hike of the Appalachian Trail alone doesn't mean you're going to finish your hike alone. I'm Matt Podolsky, and this is Common Land, a show about the Appalachian Trail.
The people in my hiking group showed me what to get, gave me all their experiences, and then were willing to take me out on hikes. I'm birthday girl, and I started on my 76th birthday.
Birthday girl was a celebrity in Appalachian Trail circles in 2022. If she completed her hike, it would make her the oldest woman to ever thru-hike the AT. And all up and down the trail, people were talking about it.
I sort of thought they made up some of those hikes just for me, you know, just so I would be going out. I mean, other people went, but yeah. Their excitement helped my excitement.
Yeah. So had you done any backpacking or much backpacking before?
No backpacking before. I had gone for like 30 years to North Carolina and done day hiking.
When you finish your thru hike, you're the oldest woman attempting a thru hike this year, or would you be the oldest ever to thru hike? Wow, that's amazing.
So
was that like at what point did you know that beforehand, before you started?
I had planned to come, and one of my friends went online to find out about Grandma Gatewood. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, the oldest woman is 74. You could become the oldest woman on trail. I mean, that wasn't something that I had planned.
There is a lot you can't plan for when you're through hiking the Appalachian Trail. Sadly, injuries and bad weather forced Birthday Girl to get off trail several times. She finished her hike the next year, a remarkable feat, but one that didn't wind up in the record books. The Appalachian Trail Conservancy defines a through hike as taking place in a 12-month period. Grandma Gatewood made news when she did it in 1955, but hers wasn't the first ever. So, who was the first?
In 1947, there was a very short article published in an outdoors magazine, and it was called The Long Trails Challenge.
That's David Donaldson, friend and biographer of Earl Schaefer, the first AT thru-hiker.
Earl read this blurb that the Appalachian Trail's 2,000-mile trail and had never been continuously hiked in one season. And Earl popped his head out and he goes, you know what? I think that's something that I'd like to try to do.
In 1947, Earl Schaefer had just gotten back from serving in World War II.
There is absolutely beyond no shadow of a doubt that Earl suffered from what we now call post-traumatic stress syndrome. They did call it back then. Back then it was you're shell-shocked. His family said after he came back from World War II, he was definitely not the same person. He himself said at one point, if it hadn't been for the trail, he may have killed himself.
The hurdles that Earl faced were enormous. Not only had it never been done before, but the AT hadn't been maintained since before the war. It was overgrown, full of blowdowns, and impossible to find in many places.
And I think when you're the first person to do something, whether it's Roger Bannister breaking the you know, the 4-minute mile or something. Just the mental challenge of doing that. You know, Earl said there were times where he might have had 20 or 30 blowdowns that he'd have to, you know, climb under or over around. And you talk about sometimes being on the side of a sheer mountain. You know what that's like.
This is directly across the trail, and there were many hundreds and even thousands of trees across the trail at that time, which made it very difficult.
That's Earl Schaefer himself. In the 1990s, Earl started giving slideshow presentations about his historic Appalachian Trail hike. In 1994, Earl's brother John recorded one of these talks to VHS.
That was a chestnut tree, and there were many thousands of them that had died in the south, and whole mountains would be full of these trees.
Despite the many difficulties that he faced, Earl Schaefer reached Mount Katahdin in August of 1948.
Now, for the first time, from the summit of White Cap Mountain, we can see the end of my long, long journey, and it's on the top of that mountain out yonder, Mount Katahdin, Mountain King of Maine. 4 months from the time I'd started.
But unlike Grandma Gatewood's experience, few news stories about Schaefer's historic hike appeared. In fact, when Schaefer shared his accomplishment with the folks at the Appalachian Trail Conference, they didn't believe him.
You know, when Earl finished his hike, he had to submit a report to Myron Avery. He called it a gentle cross-examination of 3 hours. He had to, you know, provide his photographs.
Only after sharing his photos and journal entries directly with Trail co-founder Myron Avery was the Appalachian Trail Conference willing to accept that someone had, in fact, hiked the entire 2,000-mile Appalachian Trail end-to-end in 4 months. Despite the enormity of this achievement, Earl still had lofty goals ahead of him. Although his AT hike surely helped him walk off the war, as he told many people, his real motivation for completing the through hike was to publish a book.
The reason for the hike was this is going to be a way for me to become known and have my poetry published.
Earl did write a book about his first through hike of the Appalachian Trail, but his dream of getting it published proved to be more challenging than he had originally anticipated.
Earl received rejection after rejection after rejection with his book, and it wasn't until 1981 when he first privately published it that Walking with Spring became published.
Meanwhile, while Earl was fruitlessly struggling to get his book published, Grandma Gatewood became something of a national celebrity during her Appalachian Trail hike.
According to Earl, and this is where Earl gets a lot of criticism because Earl was outspoken about it, he referred to Grandma Gatewood as a fraud. I don't see it that way, but I'm not Earl Schaefer. Now, perhaps, maybe Earl was feeling a little bit of jealousy. Here's Grandma getting all this publicity, and I can't even get my poems published.
Yeah, I don't know that she ever felt anything at all about Earl Schaefer.
Again, that's author Ben Montgomery.
I've heard this too, that Earl had some kind of hard feelings about her, and that he doubted that she actually completed a through hike. That just sounds like sexism to me. That sounds like a bullish man saying, no woman can do what I've done.
There's no doubt in my mind, Earl was a very conflicted human being. He knew that. He even told me at times, he goes, I know that I am my own worst enemy. I think he did suffer from depression. Untreated.
These days, thousands of people try to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail every year. And Earl Schaefer did eventually become a more well-known name. But it didn't happen until 1998, when he attempted another thru-hike, exactly 50 years after his first one. His biographer, David, met him on the trail and was there when he finished.
As we're climbing up, of course, word is getting out. Earl Schaefer's climbing Mount Katahdin. So more and more hikers are sort of converging up there. And when we reach the summit, there's a group of about 20 people there. And so Earl and I were walking together, and there's this, you know, documentarian and photographer there. And I just said to Earl, as we got close to the sign, I'm like, hey, Earl, this is your moment to shine, buddy. Go on up there. I'll hang out and back and touch the sign in my own time. So Earl went up there and everybody started applauding and cheering. And it was just amazing. It was just as amazing, too, to watch him literally at times just use his fingers, his elbows, his knees, whatever he needed to climb up that mountain. Because here again, the man's 79 years old, 2 weeks away from being 80, physically run down, unknown to him at the time. He was suffering from prostate cancer, which was the eventual cause of his death, because he hadn't seen a doctor in so many years.
In the aftermath of his 50th anniversary hike, Earl finally got the recognition and accolades that he'd been yearning for. Just a few years later, Earl Schaefer died at the age of 83. Emma Gatewood passed away in the 1970s at age 85. Each of them completed the entire length of the Appalachian Trail three separate times. They were both legends who helped make the trail what it is today. Their stories, along with the story of every person who finishes a through hike, helps push the people who are still trying to finish take that next step. And me and my mom were going to need that push because some very challenging terrain lay just ahead.
I don't ever remember experiencing slippery lichen like that.
Also in the next episode, we'll examine the impact of climate change on the Appalachian Trail.
Of all this, it's the saddest part for me is the loss of winter.
Common Land is a production of the Wildlands Collective. This season was produced in partnership with New Hampshire Public Radio. This episode was produced by me, your host, Matt Podolsky. Music is by Blue Dot Sessions. To listen to the next episode in the series, just search for Common Land in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. To learn more about the show and to see a full list of credits, go to commonlandpodcast.com.